Since September 11th, many Americans have been reading up on Islam. Edward Said, professor of English and comparative literature at Columbia University, says in some cases they are misreading the subject. Professor Said, who is a Palestinian-American and a longtime critic of what he calls Orientalism, writes of impossible histories, why the many Islams cannot be simplified.
There's a tendency to think of Islam as basically one thing. You know, there's the Islamic tendency to violence and the Islamic love of martyrdom and jihad and so on. All those terribly abstract things that are bandied about, most often, strange as it may seem, by scholars rather than by, amateurs or instant experts, to give one a sense that we can understand Islam directly and simply. But I contend that that's impossible, and it's a falsification. And what is produced in the end is a kind of caricature, which suits our purposes, but has very little with understanding what the various Islams, as I call them, really are.
Well, when you say suits our purposes, what do you mean by
our purposes? Well, I mean, we're going through a crisis since the terrible events of September. The hijackers were identified as Muslims, and that becomes the symbol by which we talk about the Islamic world. And into it is read all sorts of, for, you know, the purposes of instant consumption, all sorts of expert books about the mind of Islam, the society of Islam, what went wrong, why are they doing these things, forgetting that we're really talking about 1.3 billion people, and that it would be just as appropriate to talk about the problems of Christianity when we discuss fascism or anti-Semitism or any of the other major depredations that have emerged from the Christian, or for that matter, the Jewish world. Mm-hmm. And what I prefer is since I'm a secular person myself, is a wide lens that, you know, treats them all with the same suspicion, to be honest with you.
You say you write as a secular person,
yes.
And we should note, you're not writing as a secular Muslim, you're yourself of Christian ancestry.
Yes, exactly. But I'm not a Christian either in the sense that I'm a secular person. And I think in general, Islam, of all the monotheistic religion, well, there are only three, has been historically the most tolerant. I mean, to be perfectly straightforward about it, I mean, if you leaf through some of the papers and listen to the television and radio programs that come out, let's say, from the Arab world, which is only a tiny fraction of the Islamic world, you know, okay, there's a lot of government propaganda and so on and so forth, but on the satellite programs, it's much more, the diversity of opinion is much greater than it is, let's say, in America. There's debate about women's rights, and, you know, a report was issued a couple of weeks ago by the UNDP, a group of Arab intellectuals, you know, produced a very scathing report. So self-criticism is there about the conditions in the Arab world and the Islamic world.
Before I let you go, and before I ask you for some suggested reading that you would think would be enlightening to people, yes, about Islam, I want to ask you about another phenomenon, which is not all the reading suggestions have come from American or Anglo-American academics. I recall receiving a packet from the Saudi embassy shortly after September 11th, which included the All About Islam,
yes,
brochure. It managed to simplify as well as anyone whom you might brand an Orientalist.
Yes. Absolutely.
The sentence that rings in my mind still was, like Jews and Christians, Muslims regard this life merely as preparation for the next.
Yes.
It seemed to me that sometimes when people simplify, it is from within Islam, and they're simplifying about everyone else as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think one has to regard them as I do professionally, you know, because I am a teacher of literature, as readings of texts. To cite the embassy of Saudi Arabia as even a possible source is kind of a joke. I'm not saying you're doing it, but I mean, it's not where I'd go looking.
If somebody wants to pass a very astute beach vacation learning about Islam, as you would think advisable, what would you advise they read?
Well, I would say if one wants to get a sense of the basic concepts of the religion, done by a really first-class scholar, there's this book which I cite by a man called Tarif Khalidi. It's called The Basic Concept of Islam, of Classical Islam. A second thing I would do is to read books about Exactly, lived experience. So a perfect example, especially for a beach, would be to read Mahfouz's Cairo trilogy.
This is Naguib Mahfouz, the Egyptian.
The Egyptian Nobel Prize winner, yeah, the Cairo trilogy it's called, which is exactly about the third generation of a family and in which one of the young men turns into a Muslim fundamentalist and his brother turns into a communist. You get a sense of what a traditional Islamic in Egypt household would be like. And then the third book I would cite is written by a Viennese Jewish man who converted to Islam, called Muhammad Asad, and ultimately became the Pakistani ambassador to the UN in the 40s. And it's called The Road to Mecca. And it describes his own, you know, background coming from a cultivated European Jewish family and converting to Islam, obviously out of conviction.
Just referring back for a moment to the UN Development Program report that you mentioned, which we interviewed one of the authors about. She was in Cairo. And it struck me that here was a report, as you mentioned, it was scathing. It pointed out that the political and economic reforms that swept much of the world in the 1990s somehow eluded the Arab world, by and large. And also that such problems as illiteracy among adult women are pandemic in Arab countries. Those are all observations that any American academic or journalist could also make in the same countries from being there. Have we, in the name of opposing Orientalism, as you would have people, stopped stating the obvious and to the detriment of the people who live in those politically and economically unreformed societies?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's important to understand that I never say that only Arabs and Muslims can talk about Arabs and Muslims. I think everybody can talk about everybody. I think one is an expert insofar as one can read and interpret. Many of these experts don't know the language. It's still the case that most of the major journalists writing from the Islamic world today, whether for the New York Times or for the Washington Post or any of these other things, don't know the language. Somehow it's okay not to know Arabic and not to know Turkish, not to know Iranian, and so on and so forth. So I think on the level of language, one has to be as intimate as possible, which doesn't mean you have to be a native. And I think what I'm talking about is a kind of sympathetic understanding from within, really. And that's available to anybody.
Professor Saeed, thank you very much for talking
thank
to us once
so
again.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Edward Saeed, professor of English and comparative literature at Columbia University, and the author of the article in Harper's Magazine, Impossible Histories, Why the Many Islams Cannot Be Simplified. For his reading list, you can visit our website, npr.org.